Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
All right, let's go. Hour number two, Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. We'll let you know how you can get everything he provides, which is very extensive, both college and pro, inside and out, recruiting, the draft, the teams on the field, the games, the analysis of each player. It's all there for you. We'll let you know how you can get all that information. Good morning, Chris. How you doing, sir?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. Since you are close by, now, Chris, everything he does is nationwide, but he's down in Baton Rouge. So let's start there with LSU and the presentation we're about to get from them against Mississippi State. What do you expect?
Well, I think a concerted effort on the running game. I think not just this week, but going forward. I think that's, you know, they're going to throw the football, but I think they're going to set it up with the run game play action. I think you're going to see more of that. I think that's going to make the defense better. You know, the biggest reason why the defense struggled last year, people point to the injuries, but the biggest reason, in addition to that, was the pace of the offense. I think you'll see the pace of the offense be a little bit more controlled. At times, it'll be a little bit more up-tempo, but I think you'll see that. I think you see, again, more of an emphasis on, you know, last year it was all about the offense. I think this year it's going to be tailored more towards the defense, the running game, which means the running game. And I think that's what we're going to see. I think what is going to be intriguing is how much will we see out of Mississippi State's offense with, you know, it's not a complex offense. They only have, you know, six pass plays and a handful of running plays, but they master those with a lot of repetition. Without the normal amount of repetition, how effective will they be? Got an experienced quarterback. So they're going to throw it a whole bunch. How aggressive would LSU get defensively against that? Sometimes you can, you know, be over-aggressive. You got to really play contained there and be disciplined. So I'm curious to see, in that respect, the style. But, you know, this is a game in which LSU's got quite a bit more talent than Mississippi State.
Chris, knowing Mike Leach all the way back to what, Valdosta State, his beginnings with Hal Mumme, and what he does stylistically, offensively, KJ Costello, et cetera, the transfer from Stanford, how in sync can they be game one with this new offense and with Mississippi State personnel that, you know, in some cases obviously was not recruited to this style?
I think they'll have some success, because what they'll do is they'll work the short pass game. That's a lot of what they do, the huge line splits. They'll invite the rush in and get the ball out quick. But I think it's going to be rough, comparatively speaking, to as we go forward. I think you're going to see, you know, people think about, well, more games under your belt. Well, you've got more practices. Think about for every game, you've got four or five practices that go along with it. The practices that you accumulate during the course of the season, particularly a year like this, you're going to see more and more of that offense in. So
yeah,
I don't think it'll be as good as it will be down the road, mainly due to the opponent, but also due to the amount of practice time to this point.
Alabama, obviously a huge favorite in their game against Missouri. Quarterback-wise, Mac Jones, give us some thoughts there, and will we see Bryce Young, in your opinion?
Well, I think let's start with the, you know, Mac Jones. I think Mac is outstanding in terms of his ability to see the field, make decisions, you know, certainly protecting the football. It's been pretty good, although we saw some mistakes. I think the experience he had last year is what gives him the big leg up. This is, you know, someone that can run the offense, get you out of a bad play into a good play, set protections. This, I expect it to be, again, more towards, built towards the running game and the ability to work the pass game off of that. Now, you know, when you look at Bryce Young, you've got a guy that is ultra-talented, but with no spring practice, he's not going to be as ready as he could have been. Now, can they put him in? Can they play him? Well, that will depend upon circumstances this year, but he's a little bit more gifted athletically. But I think right now there's not even a decision because there's not enough reps, meaningful reps in practice for him to even be competitive in the job at this point. So I think what they've got is a package in play. I expect it, well, I would think that they would probably play him in a game like this because I do think it's going to get out of hand. And if it does, I think that they'll probably do some of that. How much mop-up duty and how much they want to give Mac a little bit more of a chance or more reps, I think, is going to be key. But that's how I see it. And let me remind folks that when they went to the whole spread and we're going to throw it and we're going to open it up, that is what began to affect the defense. Just like I talked about LSU, and you know, people don't get that. It's amazing. It's really simple, even if you're not a football person. But you know, when you become an up-tempo or you become an explosive offense up and down the field, your defense won't be as good, even with the same personnel. Alabama hasn't won a title doing it that way. Their championships, in my opinion, the championships have come doing it. Their physical defense, run the football, and then be able to make plays in the passing game when you overplay the run. That is the formula, in my opinion, for Alabama to get back to championship level. It doesn't mean that you eschew the pass game or that in a given game or two that you might not, you know, need to spread it out and attack. You can do it, but the more you do that, the less your defense will be effective. So, you know, people will say, you know, boy, Alabama, the offense wasn't a problem with Alabama the past few years, is the defense. No, the problem was the defense, and why was the defense a problem? Well, again, injuries and the pace of play on offense. There is a method to score often, your goal score every possession, touchdowns, but if you can compress the game and use time off the clock, that is the best chance to be a dominant team. And I think not many people can do that, but Alabama can. And I personally think they kind of went away from it a little bit. And it's easy to do when you've got Tua, you've got all those, you've got four elite receivers, and your defense is injured. That's why they said, you know what, if we're going to win this year, we're going to have to do it with offense. And they came close, but you become more vulnerable that way. And, you know, LSU, Clemson, you know, those type of teams don't need to be vulnerable. They don't need to put themselves in a vulnerable situation unless they have injuries that take one side of the ball like the defense and you know, cut it off at the knees, so to speak, from an injury standpoint.
Walter on Twitter. This is for you, Chris. When is the Pac-12 going to finally wake up and unhire, now here's the name, Limo Larry Scott. Limo Larry. How about that?
Yeah, well, and, you know, here's the thing about it. It's ironic that, you know, I've been critical of Larry in how he has really messed up a lot of things from a budgetary, a financial standpoint. Now, I know people laugh at the Pac-12. There's a lot of tradition, a lot of history that has not been tapped into, that has not been developed and cultivated. And a lot of it's with the Pac-12 network and the design and the business model and all of that, that is on him. In this case, Bill, Larry Scott's not making this call, just like Kevin Warren was not making this call. I mean, criticize him, yes, if you can criticize him for a lot of things, but the fact that they're not making these decisions, that ain't one of them because they're not involved in that. This is, like the Big Ten, very political. So it is the university presidents that are taking their lead from the gubernatorial offices in the state that are basically handcuffing. So right now, the Pac-12, particularly as it relates in Oregon and California, they can't authorize anything until the governor say things that are allow certain things to take place in terms of practices, and you can't do anything. So, and I know that the governor of California came out and said, well, there's nothing to stop it. No. That's not the, of course, that's a political statement because, hey, it's not my fault. Don't blame me. But the reality is until they relinquish some things from a state standpoint, they can't move forward. And that's been the biggest issue. So it's a mess. There's no question. And I don't think because the biggest difference, you know, in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is there was a fervor to get the Big Ten back. And there was a threat of a legal lawsuit on the Big Ten. Unless something like that appears for the Pac-12, there's not the motivation as high as it is in the Big Ten to get Pac-12 football back by the Pac-12 people. And that's the reality of it. And if there was a lawsuit pending, we'd probably see them lining up pretty quick. It's not going to happen, and they're running out of time. And in fact, I'll say this, they've run out of time. There's no way they can get into this college football season other than just to play an exhibition-type game. So exhibition-type games are half a dozen or so. They're really not in the college playoff mix this year, even if they had a team worthy.
Chris, got a couple of minutes on the other side?
Absolutely.
Okay. More Chris Landry after the break. More questions for him. College football, post them on Twitter if you want to. At Billis King, I'll pass them along. We are presented on this Thursday by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. THP's on the scene, what they're calling an incident. 24 eastbound just past 840 out in Rutherford County. Again, the heaviest flow is coming westbound, and that is eastbound. 2400 block of Smith Springs Road in Una Antioch. That's a crash. It's starting to build pretty good now. On 24 east coming in through Jolton, it starts to get heavy passing White's Creek Pike. Check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
No matter where you live has never mattered more. For over 100 years, realtors have brought local knowledge and deep expertise to helping people find new places they can live, dream, and thrive. Places you can call home. Now and always, we are neighbors who care in the communities we serve. It's not just what we do, it's who we are. When you're ready, look for the R. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. Relive all the action with full game replays.
We do it again.
Catch every snap in just 45 minutes with condensed games.
Caught for the touchdown.
Learn from the pros with film sessions.
Once you're in that red zone, it's a chess match.
And get access to the NFL Films Archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. Get closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. We will let you know, he will let you know how you can get all of his college and pro information. Very extensive. This is interestingly worded, Chris, this question. Georgia Dog, ask Chris if he would bet the farm on Florida winning the East. Chris, I don't think you've ever bet the farm on anything, but go ahead.
Yeah, sure, I'll bet it. Since I don't have a farm, I'll bet it. You can. What have I got to lose? No, I would not. No, I think Georgia is the favorite in the East, and I do think that Georgia has a tougher schedule. And I do think Alabama will beat Georgia, and I think that Florida is more than capable of winning every game on their schedule, except I need to see them compete better against Georgia. So remember, I'm not here to predict it's going to be a weird season and likely possible that everybody might have a couple of losses if things go really haywire. But if I were to look at it from a roster standpoint, and a team, just an overall team standpoint, I think that Florida could go through the season with one loss, that being at Georgia, and Georgia could go through a season with one loss, that being against Alabama, and that would put Georgia in the driver's seat in a one loss and a head-to-head. So, no, I would not bet the farm on Georgia, but I would, if I were push come to shove, you ask me who's the better team, it's Georgia between the two.
Here's one. Josh up in London, Ohio. Chris, who do Buckeye fans hate more, Dabo Sweeney or Jim Harbaugh?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Buckeye fans. I would say anybody associated with the team up north. I think that's your answer. I would say that it is definitely Jim Harbaugh. Maybe you might sneak in a Dabo here or there, but no. The hate between Michigan and Ohio State is real, and it lives 365, as you all know. Rhetorical question.
A couple of years ago when Clemson blanked them, just shut them down, and Urban Meyer says, we got to get back to the drawing board offensively and everything. Dabo Sweeney later, if you'll recall, came back and said, I was looking at the film that week, and I was just saying, there's no way they beat us. I think that's what got them. I think that's what ticked him off.
Sure. I get that. I get that part. There are plenty of reasons to not like that, to feel that way.
America 1970 on Twitter. Ask Chris if he thinks college football playoff will expand this year, and are the dates flexible due to COVID?
There's no indication that they're even considering expansion. So until, I don't see a scenario that way. But I'm going to say we don't know what's going to happen. I certainly don't. If we got major issues to where nobody ends up playing more than 8 games, I mean, I would think that would be the only, and I'm just throwing 8 as a number where, it's like their games canceled everywhere. That would be the only way they would have to look at it and say, okay, what do we do now? Well, in lieu of lost games, for 1 year, let's just create more games vis-a-vis a playoff for 1 year, and we could see, anything is possible in this weird year. But is that the plan? No. In fact, there is no plan for that whatsoever. And I would say that it would have to be really drastic for them to even consider it. But, hold your hat, because everything's been really weird this year, as we all know.
Did you see the piece, and it might have been ESPN on Nick Saban, and it was about taking that Toledo job? The very first head coaching job, and that first year, he only stayed 1 year and then ended up, obviously, with Belichick. You were up there, too, in Cleveland, but I don't know if you got it. It was a pretty good read, though.
No, I didn't, but I was with him. I wasn't with him, but I remember him very well. He was in his late 30s, and he was on on the Houston Oilers staff. He was on Jerry Glanville's staff coaching the secondary, and he got that job, and it was mainly due to you know, George Perlis's recommendation, obviously his time at Michigan State, and he recommended him along with a few others. Don James recommended him highly at Toledo, and Don, of course, had a lot of background and connections in the MAC because he coached Nick at Kent before he went out to Washington, and so that led to his job there. And in fact, I was went to Toledo that year and scouted one of his. He had a really good tight end that year. He had a really good team, and I can remember how the whole thing. He was the first move he had to make and leave, and it was after 1 year, and he struggled with it. He thought it might be a bad decision. In fact, it would have happened had it not been for Belichick, because he and Belichick had developed a friendship because of Nick's working with Bill's dad, Blake's dad, Steve Belichick, and he didn't think it was a good idea to leave after 1 year, and Belichick just. Bill just stayed after him and said, this is going to be your best future. And he actually thought that he was done with college ball once he went into the NFL because he had some offers in the NFL. The Colts were interested. The Giants were actually interested. And he stayed in Cleveland as the defensive coordinator a little longer. He was the Ohio State had considered him when one of the many years they were thinking about firing John Cooper, and they ended up that year kind of keeping him. And then a year later, he ends up, the Michigan State job comes open, and George recommends him there, George Perlis. And then, you know, everybody knows the history there. But that's kind of the from that point on. But, yeah, I do remember it. It's a quick 1 year. He had a really good team. He turned around a team that didn't win hardly anything, and they ended up winning all but two games that year.
And Gary Pinkel came in right after him there,
yes,
at Toledo.
He actually
– Nick got that done, right?
Nick got that done. And the here's the thing about it is I know that, you know, he was kind of a young guy that was very – Nick was that was kind of had ambitions to go move quickly. And, you know, he just – once he left, the athletic director kind of understood, but it was frustrated that he left after 1 year. But he thought enough of Nick to said, this is the guy. Look, I'm leaving. And they had a lot of heart-to-heart. And, it, you know, he really trusted Nick. He says, well, you know what? He says, I trust you. He really wanted what's best for Toledo. And I remember because we were together in Cleveland, and – I remember being in the office, and I was going back out, and Nick would ask me, check in on my boys over there, meaning Toledo, the players and the coaches. So even in Cleveland, he was still worried about the Toledo team that he had left and, you know, how they were doing and all that. So he had a hard time making that move just after 1 year. But no one would – without it, who knows what would have happened because – you know, where things might have gone would have been maybe a completely different path. You just never know.
Chris, one more here. That Auburn-Kentucky game, what are you circling to watch out for there?
Auburn's tempo offensively. Chad likes to run a little up-tempo with the pass game. You know, Gus likes to do it with the run game. The key against this Kentucky team that is very good and very good at the line of scrimmage. And when I say very good, offensive line is, how about this, very, very, very good, like one of the best offensive lines in the country. You know, it is going to be a challenge at the line of scrimmage. So what I think offensively Auburn needs to do, and the key in this game, is they're going to have to ratchet up the tempo. You don't get Kentucky misaligned. They're very well coached. They play very sound gap control. So the best way to get them is to run tempo before they can get lined up, before they can make adjustments, before they can stem their front. That's what I think is going to be key. Auburn's got the overall better personnel. They're at home. They should win the game. But they've got a quarterback within his second year. but they better not play around. This Kentucky team is really well coached. They're really very physical. And if Auburn doesn't play well, they're going to be in trouble. But they should win the game if they play their best game.
Chris, Kentucky's got, what, 3 offensive linemen who are NFL guys, right?
Yep. Including as good of a center as you're going to find in the country.
And people, I don't know how many, when you think of Kentucky, you don't necessarily think that way, meaning the average fan, but they've done a very good job there, man.
They do a good job developing, and now they're able to go out and sell, like getting the 4-star offensive lineman a couple of weeks ago. Hey, look, you come here. Here's what you got come out of it. And that's part of it is the developmental program in the SEC. And what I mean by that is, where, you know, they're, you know, Alabama develops players the best, but they get elite talent. They do what we've seen a Wisconsin and an Iowa do in the Big Ten. That's what Mark has done at Kentucky. It's just, you know, winning in the SEC East is a lot different than winning in the Big Ten West. It's just a bigger challenge and, you know, better programs with more resources in front of you. But they develop, meaning they take guys and keep them in their program and take guys – that are at one level, and at the end, they become a much better finished product than when they came in, as good as anybody in the SEC.
Chris, tell everybody what all you provide.
LandryFootball.com is the hub of where you want to go, folks. You know, right now with the football season in play, with the games in play, we break down all the games, all the college games, all the NFL games. We tell you about who are the highest graded players. That's the point in the season. After the games are over, we grade it inside the film room, tell you who graded out the best, and tell you really what happened, why it happened. So it's one-stop shopping football. If it's players, teams, coaches, schemes at the college and NFL level, that's what we do. We provide our notebooks every day to tell you what's going on in practice and depth chart movements and reps and all those things that are pursuant to what's going to happen this week. This week's game. So check it out. Certainly, we've got all our podcasts. You can get the link to the internet TV channel, the Twitch channel. So LandryFootball.com. Take advantage. You can try it out for a month, folks. Really easy. We got a great savings plan right at the top. If you want to get it for a year, it's even a better rate. Look, it's like having your own scouting department, your own coaching department at your disposal for less than a magazine subscription. So I think it's something that you will absolutely love 12 months out of the year. But football season, you can really get a good feel for learning more about the teams and the games and the players and the schemes and the coaches and however you like to consume it, whether you like to gamble or fantasy football or just like to learn more about again, the teams, we got it all for you. So we're really excited about it. Check it out today.
Chris, see you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Take care.
There he is. Mr. Chris Landry joins us. When we come back, got an announcement. Oh, got an announcement for scheduling on the show, for guesting on the show. That will be after the break. Bottom of the hour right here, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Watching traffic build out here in the normal spot, 65 southbound here at Trinity Lane, 2400 block of Smith Springs Road on an accident. It's slow, 24 east, trying to get past White's Creek Pike on another wreck up there in the Joelton area. Starting to pick up also coming past the airport through Hermitage Donaldson on I-40 West. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. It's so worth the drive. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world.
Hola, encantada. ¿Cómo te llamas?
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just text PRACTICE to 484848 and start learning a new language today. That's PRACTICE to 484848. PRACTICE to 484848.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Five-state forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Showers and a high of 67. Chance of showers tonight, low 60. Slight chance of showers tomorrow, high 77. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low 62. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network or Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
You got an announcement beginning Friday, which, by the way, is tomorrow. I just looked at the calendar. It's tomorrow. Beginning Friday, returning to the show for a weekly slot to talk Alabama is Kevin Hagan. Good news there, everybody. Kevin had been with us for a while, needed some time off. We said, absolutely, do what you got to do. You're welcome back when you are ready. He let me know he's ready. Friday, tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, Kevin Hagan returns. And if you don't know him or you haven't heard him, he is outstanding. He is ridiculously informed. Looking forward to that. Happy news there. So on Friday, tomorrow, Kevin Hagan will be with us. And also joining us will be in his customary slot, hour number three on Friday, Brad, as in Brad powerssports.com. That's good news, man. That is very good news. Josh, Bill, ask Chris if he can do a Jeff in the Burrow impersonation. Hashtag breakatwinder. I think Jeff in the Burrow has left. I don't think he's coming back right now. I don't know if he's mad because I was impersonating him. Breakatwinder. What's wrong with that? When they impersonate you, it's a compliment. For example, I will be out. It hadn't happened in a while, but I used to have people, Bill, other radio shows, they were doing you. Yeah, they were trying to be you. They were making fun of you, Bill. That's good. That's flattering. That's flattering. I like that. Keep it coming, man. Yeah, we haven't heard from him in a while. Too bad. Yeah, he gets everybody stirred up pretty good. And I'll say this about Jeff in the Burrow. Jeff in the Burrow does his homework. Dude is into stuff, man. He loves college football, loves college basketball, loves high school ball, loves all that stuff. Loves it when the rioters go into cities and trash everything. Loves all that, man. He's a well-rounded guy. Couple of notes here. Coach Marshall, Bill, at Lex KY Tide. That's Kevin Hagan on Twitter, in case you're wondering. At LEXKY Tide, because he works at the University of Kentucky. Yes. But he is, and he's from up there, but he's a lifelong Alabama guy. That's just the way it works, man. Jim and Jupiter, so glad Kevin is back. He rocks. Kevin does rock. Just saying. Mike says, Bill, for your information, Walter from Nebraska is always throwing you under the bus because of your friendship with Bo Pelini. He says, hashtag stop reading his tweets. Oh, I don't care. Yeah. Look, when you do this show, or if you're going to be on the air, you got all kinds of people coming at you with whatever. And I'm 30-something years into this. I don't worry about any of that stuff. No. Matter of fact, and look, Walter's been a long-time tweeter on the show, and he's welcome to tweet anything he wants. I'm good with that. But no. You'd be surprised, though. I've talked to you about this before. You'd be surprised how many people, national people now, cannot take criticism or anything that's anything but patting you on the back without throwing a temper tantrum. There's a lot of very delicate feelings out there in the media. You'd be shocked. And I learned forever ago that I'll give an example. When I was getting started 30-something years ago and making a name for myself, there was a newspaper that did a hit piece on me about my success and all this, and it wasn't anything specific. It was just, man, I guess anybody could do it now. This guy's already, it was, anyways, and I was mad about it. I've only been in the business a couple of years, and I was really mad. And my uncle called me, very successful lawyer, very, very big lawyer. And he said, you need to chill. They just did you a hell of a favor. Publicity is publicity, dude. And again, at the time, it was hard for me, but he was right. He was right. So I don't worry about it. Alec Whipple Bob, Bill, Kevin Hagan coming back. Can't miss radio. Allen in Tampa, great to have Kevin back. Butch down in Birmingham, Butch kicker at Alabama back in the day. Great news about Kevin Hagan coming back. I hope this Bama season helps him recover from the beatdown my Canes gave his Rangers back this summer. Welcome back. Hashtag Roll Tide. Coach B wants to know, Fridays. Yeah, the announcement is Kevin Hagan returns Fridays. Remember, it used to be on Wednesdays. Now it's Fridays. And it'll be at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, starting tomorrow. Kevin Hagan. That's right. Karen brought something up interesting earlier regarding commitment. She was looking at plane tickets, and they're very inexpensive right now. But she says, I'm going to hold off because I don't know whether or not they're going to move early signing day, the early signing period. You know what? We will do commitments, I would think. And I'm glad she brought that up because I haven't really thought it out at all about, well, what if they did move it? Right now, as far as I know, they're not moving it. But who knows? Because, again, they have already declared that the dead period is going to last now with another extension. They've extended it, what, four times or something, all the way through the end of this year to January 1 of 21. So there is a theory that's out there that maybe why have an early signing period when all these kids can't officially visit, which is a legitimate point, but I don't know that they're going to move it. But my point is this. We'll do commitments regardless, I would assume. Yeah, and no reason to go ahead and book your flights or anything. I don't think that's going to be a problem. As of right now, I don't think getting a flight is going to be an issue, and I would assume you're going to get a cheap flight, too, on top of that. You're going to be coming in from out of town, which quite a few of you do for that. Steven down in Louisiana. Bill, I need to call in and give my Jeff impersonation. Says, Bill, don't change. Wait until Kentucky beats Auburn Saturday. Jeff will be the first caller on Monday. That'd be pretty good. Just saying. Jim and Jupiter, Bill, the number one guy that's national that cannot take any criticism or even have a difference of opinion is Tim Brando. Yeah, Timmy B knows that. He struggles with that. I know Tim. Known him a long time. And Tim does not take difference of opinion well. It's just, he's just wired that way. Yeah, he gets pretty huffy and puffy. But I still like him. But that critique is legit. You're right. You're right. Matter of fact, when I was talking about that, I was kind of referring to him. Timmy B. You know what, though? If Tim were to be, let's just say we all met up down at Bar Lines at the Omni, and Tim was with us, you'd like him. He's a good dude. He's a really good dude. You're talking about a guy you could sit down and have a beer with, and he could tell you a million stories that would have you riveted. He could. He's Timmy B means well. He struggles with that. That is true. Lots of those guys do now. Herbie. Now, I think Herbie's kind of backed off a little bit, but remember there for a while, for a couple of years, he was fighting people on Twitter. If you are Herbie, and you are the number one analyst on TV for college football, you're paid that way too. Everybody pretty much agrees you're the guy. Why are you fighting people on Twitter? What would be the need with the life you've got to take time to fight a guy on Twitter about this team or that team or whatever opinion? And I mean, Herbie is a fantastic guy too. If we were at Bar Lines and you sat down and have a beer with Herbie, you'd say, what a guy. He's that nice of a guy. He is. But some struggle with that. Herbie's not as bad as Brando now. No, he's not as bad as Timmy B. Doug DiBiase up in Connecticut. Great news about Kevin Hagan, Bill. Looking forward to hearing him once again. Yeah, that's tomorrow. That is tomorrow. Ron checking in here. Bill, as a Husker fan, I like Bo Pelini. Would love to have his record. 9 wins every year. At Faux Pelini is a classic Twitter follow. Yeah, I noticed that. I've followed that for years. By the way, the Buckeye fan being nice has ended. It was a good run for a week. Well, look, I like Bo. Crazy Charlie and I know Bo. Crazy Charlie has that audio drop, which is Bo Pelini. Bo Pelini, back when he was at Nebraska, he had a yearly golf function, and he would invite people up. And our partner in our Sirius XM 10-year four-way was a guy named Brian Benio, who lives down in Atlanta but played at Ohio State. Actually, his career was cut short because of a back neck injury. But he was a big-name recruit. Back in 19, in the class of 85, he was ranked the number two linebacker in America out of Georgia. Brian Benio, 6'3", about 240. Big boy. Big boy. And anyways, he and Bo were tight. They were at Ohio State together, so they're out there. And I was going to be on vacation or something, and Charlie was going to host the show, Sirius XM. And so Brian had Bo call and leave a message, and that's the message you hear when Charlie plays it. It's pretty good. That's from Bo. That's from the man, Mr. Pelini. Jim and Jupiter. Bill, is Karen coming to commitments? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That is the plan right now. She was looking at tickets this morning. Yeah, I need to talk, but I was talking with Todd Rodermill from the Omni the other day. We were talking about the Michigan-Ohio State game. He's a big Buckeye fan, too. And we were talking about the dates, and it was pretty much set. We're going on the 16th, have the big get-together on the 15th, regardless of whether or not they have signing day. Look, when we have that event, we're not sitting there checking off everybody's list anyways, are we? We're getting together. We're partying, baby. I mean, we talk a little football, sure, but that event is not about everybody's list. Never has been, right? It's about us getting together and having some fun. We'll take the break. One more in hour number two. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Traffic's been a little slow go trying to get down through Madison from a stalled vehicle a few minutes ago here near OHB on I-65. Just heavy traffic this time of the morning in this area as it is, especially southbound. Traffic's picked up quite a bit, even more so on I-40 here up by the airport and through Hermitage, Donaldson, 2400 block of Smith Springs Road. That wreck being cleared. 24 still limping along eastbound at White's Creek Pike coming through Jolton from that crash. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken. Online at princesshotchicken.com.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market. Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Knows more about the oblong spheroid than any man in America. It's Bill King.
Yeah, the Kevin Hagan announcement. He'll start joining us Fridays at 7 Central, 8 Eastern. I found out during the show. Yeah, I didn't even know until just a few minutes ago. So good news. Excellent news right there. Jeff in Chicago. Bill, got a new drink plan this year for Commitmas. It's going to be called the Corona Teeny. Still working fine the exact mixture of liquids. The Corona Teeny. I'll try it. I mean, I'll take a sip. Yeah, somebody help Jeff. Any of you folks who are good at mixing drinks, get with Jeff in Chicago on that. to help him come up with a drink called the Corona-tini. It's a martini, except it's not a martini. It's a Corona-tini, whatever that might be. I don't even know what a martini is. As far as I know, I've never even had one. I see it on, like, you know, movies and TV, and yeah, I'll take a martini. I know what it is. It's a drink. I know that. I just don't know what the ingredients, the alcohol ingredients are. I wouldn't know. I have never been at a bar and said, could I have a martini, please? It's never come out of my mouth. But I will try a Corona-tini. Conjured up by Jeff in Chicago. Josh, Bill, when Alabama faces Ohio State in the playoffs, Bill, the only thing the tide is going to roll is galls around their egos after Ryan Day spanks that hiney. I predicted for many, many years when Urban Meyer took the Buckeye job, first year was 2012, that we would have many Urban Meyer versus Nick Saban playoff or championship games. Of course, back then, we were still in the BCS. A glorious period, the BCS. We weren't even in the playoffs at the time. And a couple of years into it, we were, yeah. And 2014, Meyer won it, and they played in the semis. I thought they would play numerous times. They didn't. Played that one time. I thought we were going to have an era of so many historic moments where it was Meyer and Saban. Actually, if you think about it, the moments 08-09 were historic in nature because those were natties. Florida 08, Alabama 09. And both years, both teams were good enough to win it all. That turned out to be more historic. Now, the semifinal game, once Ohio State got going in 14 season, they pretty much took over that game and controlled it. That was not a real competitive game once they got flowing. Buckeyes were – that matchup, Buckeyes were clearly better. That was not a debatable moment right there. Not at all. Jeff in Chicago. Bill, I'm going to be real mouthy to Todd with 1D after Indiana beats the Buckeyes and wins the East this year. Oh, so now Jeff's wanting some of this hashtag UK will win the East, hashtag IU will win the East. Is that a thing? Is that joining the hashtag brigade? Hashtag IU will win the East, meaning the B1G East. Yeah, Jeff in Chicago is an IU guy. Lives in Chicago, but went to IU, loves them. Football, basketball, marbles, the piano team. Doesn't matter. The Daisy BB gun team, he loves them all. If it says IU, then that's his. Perry Mason says, Bill, I think Ohio State just probably needs to get on the field first before we start popping off a little bit. Josh, Bill, martinis are vodka. Dirty martinis are still vodka, but a little olive juice in the martini. See, I'm not a vodka guy. I'd take a little sip maybe, but I'm just not a – it's never done me right. That – and here's a sacrilege one for you. The drink that Music City Todd loves, which is he loves his Jack. Jack is brutal on me now. I haven't had it in 30 years probably. I mean, I just can't. It's the aftertaste there. It's rough. That stuff is rough now. But a lot of people love their Jack now. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people love it. I'm just, I never adjusted to that. Too many bad experiences in college with that. When I would, you know, you do it anyways. Even though you really don't want to, you don't like the taste, you do it anyways, and then the next day you regret your life. I've got a lot of those in the history. So, probably had my last Jack. Straight Jack or Jack and Coke. Hopefully. Hour 3 coming up. By the way, we're clear. A lot of football to get to. Kevin Hagan back tomorrow. That's good. We'll be back.